Busy routines can make it hard to focus on your health goals, but MedExpress offers a simple way to explore weight management treatment online. Complete our short eligibility consultation with no need for face-to-face appointments or travel. If eligible, treatment is delivered discreetly, with UK-registered clinicians offering support along the way. Visit medexpress.co.uk/podcast to get started today.
What are the very rules you follow to get healthier are the reason you can't stop thinking about food? Today, we're exposing the diet myths that keep millions trapped in guilt, cravings, and the endless cycle of starting over. Welcome back to the show, everyone. If you've ever promised yourself, Monday, I'm going to cut out carbs, or there's going to be absolutely no sugar this week, or I was so good today, so I deserve a little cheat meal, then you're going to want to listen to this episode. Today, I'm joined again by Dr. Teresa DeLorenzo. Today, I'm joined once again by Dr. Teresa DeLorenzo. She is a registered dietitian, doctor of clinical nutrition, athlete, yoga therapist, speaker, and the founder of Nutrition for Optimal Performance. For more than two decades, she's helped people move away from restrictive dieting and toward a healthier relationship with food, one built on nourishment instead of guilt. She also speaks nationally about the dangers of diet culture and restrictive eating, making this a conversation so many of us need to hear. So thank you so much for being back on the show. It's so good to meet you. You did a show with Stacey and I heard a lot of amazing things about you. So I'm excited to talk to you today about all of these things that are literally controlling so many of us all the time.
They are. Yeah. Food noise is real. You know, when people avoid their favorite foods, it's just the food noise gets louder, you know, and that's something that I work really hard with my clients on, trying to break those habits of, I can't have that, I shouldn't have that. Like, yeah, you should. Food is more than just, you know, nourishment. There's so much to it. It's our way of celebrating, our way of, you know, eating foods that are associated with our culture, a way of socialization. It's something we should be enjoying and not, you know, fearing.
Yeah. And I was telling you before we started recording that I was talking to someone else and we were talking more, it was more like hormonal and about how, you know, certain things are so bad for us and that we should avoid them like the plague. And she was also saying things about how we shouldn't eat after a specific time of day. And I'm one of those people who is very controlled by food. Like, I feel like if I don't eat, I might, like, if I go on an airplane, for instance, I'm like, oh my gosh, what am I going to eat? Like, I'm always thinking about my next meal. And if I eat something bad, society has told me that it's going to make me feel shitty. So I always think, oh no, if I have this, I'm going to be tired or I'm going to get brain fog or something else. I'm very intelligent. I'm a very successful individual. So many of us are, but I still believe in all of this nonsense. Can you talk about that a little bit? Where did this stuff come from?
Yeah, I like how you call it nonsense, because it is, like, when you're craving a food, your body is telling you, hey, there's this nutrient in this food that I need you to give me right now. Like, if you're craving chocolate or peanut butter, your body might be looking for magnesium. If you're craving chips like I do every afternoon because I'm a runner and my body's like, hey, I need a little carb, you know, some carbs, I need some salt to kind of replenish what you used up this morning when you ran. And the minute you ignore that is the minute that you kind of force yourself to overconsume that food later, because your body's like, hey, you didn't listen. You ignored this craving. You ignored this need for this nutrient. And now I need twice as much, because now I feel deprived that you didn't give me that. So yeah. And you know, you talk about eating bad and not eating foods that are going to, you know, eating foods that are going to make you feel bad. I really try to get people to get rid of the good food, bad food mentality. Because what happens is when you start eating something that you label as bad, a lot of times what people do is check out and don't actually experience eating that food that they really wanted. And so now you're mindlessly eating that food. So you don't know when you've had enough. You don't know when to stop. And the craving for it might not go away because you didn't even pay attention. So like, if you can be like, okay, I'm craving a chocolate chip cookie for whatever reason. And it could be a nutrient. It also could be just like, I really love those and I need this treat right now. And if you're able to mindfully eat that chocolate chip cookie and be present and notice when you've had enough, you might like take a few bites and feel like you're done. You might need the whole cookie and that's fine too. On the contrary, if you check out because you feel guilty eating that cookie because you labeled it as bad, that craving might not go away. And tomorrow at that same time, your body might need that cookie again because you didn't fully embrace yourself in that experience. And so now it's like, you still need it.
Okay, yeah, because I was going to ask you that. I was going to challenge you on that. And I was going to say, when I have like a snack craving late at night and I start eating something, let's say with sugar, then I find that I'm craving that every night then. And then I start like this cycle. And so, but I don't sit there with my cookie and like savor it and enjoy it or whatever it is. I just kind of scarf it down. And it feels like I'm limiting myself. So I'm like, okay, you can have this, but you can only have this much of it. And right. So it's like, it feels like a restriction trap, essentially.
Yeah, like you're letting your head decide how much of it to eat versus listening to your body, letting your body tell you how much of this cookie do I actually want? Like, when do I feel satisfied? And like, if you really check in and listen to that, you might have been satisfied before that small amount that you told yourself you were allowed, quote unquote, to have. Right, but you aren't even connecting into your body. You're not even connecting into your body to notice that. You're just like, this is how much I'm allowed to have. And now you feel like you want more probably because it's human nature to break the rules, right? We want what we can't have. So the minute you tell yourself you can't have something, you want more of it.
Why so like, diets seem to work until they don't.
That's why, right? Because you feel so deprived, right? I'm going to do this diet. And that word, it's a four-letter word, right? I hate those four-letter words. Diet is one of those words where it's like, okay, I'm going to do this for a short amount of time. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to be really restrictive. And then you feel restricted. You feel deprived. So now when you go back to eating your favorite foods, you're going to overconsume them because you feel like I didn't get to have these things, you know, and now it's you swing the other way. So if you can find a balance where you're having a moderate amount of them, eating them mindfully, paying attention, you'll get full sooner. You'll feel satisfied sooner. And it's reasonable. You can do that forever, right? Like you can eat a little bit of your favorite foods because you get to have them versus I can't have this. And now I am going to have twice as much now because I wasn't allowed to have this during this diet.
So again, I want to talk about the restriction trap. So there's all these fads going around and plus all of this new, I guess, research and also like just nonsense, I guess you could say out there with these new supplements that are claiming to, you know, make you feel amazing in a day. And so there's a few rules. There's, what have I heard? So don't eat after 7. Bread is terrible for you. Fruits have tons of sugar. Cheat days are bad. So what is real and what is not real? Where is this coming from? And what actually happens psychologically when we label food eating like this?
Yeah. I will tell you, I break every single one of those rules every single day that you just mentioned. Like, I'm not going to get done tonight till 7:30 and then I'll make dinner.
Right.
So yeah. Yeah. What was the other one? Don't eat after 7. What else did you say? Bread. I eat bread multiple times a day for sure. I'm Italian. I have to eat bread. Plus, you know, if you eat bread that's like whole grain, then you're going to feel full sooner. You add a protein to it. You know, let's say you have oat bread or whole wheat bread and you put hummus and avocado and some hemp seeds on it. Okay, well, now you're going to get full a lot sooner, making that bread not really that bad. Plus, you're going to get fiber from the whole wheat bread. Yeah, so those are two of them. All right. Tell me the other three again. Let's go through.
Fruit has too much sugar.
Fruit has a sugar called fructose. Yes. But it also has fiber, right? So, and fruit also has phytochemicals, antioxidants, things that fight disease. If you have fruit or any carb really with a protein and maybe a healthy fat, you're going to get full a lot sooner, stay full a lot longer. So have the apple. Maybe put some peanut butter on it or have the banana and put some peanut butter, have some cheese with your grapes, now that spike in insulin that you were going to have from eating the sugar alone, which isn't going to be as high as it would be from, you know, candy, because you've got the fiber in the fruit, that spike in insulin is now going to, or blood sugars, I should say, is now going to be a lot lower, and it's going to stay moderate. You're going to stay full a lot longer. And then it's time to eat again because you've had some protein, some fat, some fiber to go along with that sugar to kind of hold you over. So yeah, there's benefits. And a lot of times, instead of thinking, I can't have this, I shouldn't have that, think about, what can I add to this to make this a more nutrient dense meal or snack? You know, okay, I'm craving bread or I'm craving fruit. Okay, what can I add now to make this, you know, more wholesome, more something that's going to last longer? So a protein or a healthy fat, like nuts or cheese or yogurt or something like that. Hummus.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's interesting because sometimes I will like go have a fast food meal. It's rare, but I do. And the next day I feel amazing. And it always like baffles me because I'm like, man, I restrict myself so much and I try and eat so well. I had this meal that is considered terrible for you and I feel amazing today. And it also, it sometimes baffles me. So I think a lot of this is psychological.
And perhaps like you're under fueling your body. So you're not providing yourself enough energy from calories to function the way that you want to. And now you had that fast food meal. Maybe you're actually eating enough calories that day so that you do feel, you know, kind of revived from having enough. You know, or maybe there was something in that fast food. Maybe it was salt. Maybe it was iron from the burger, whatever it might have been that your body was like, oh, thank God. Thank you. You finally gave me the thing I've been looking for. When on the other days when you're restricting, you're not allowing yourself to have those nutrients that your body might be seeking.
Absolutely. So where did your passion for this come from?
Well, I'm a dietitian, or, you know, I'm Italian. So I'm a dietitian who's Italian. And so that comes with a lot of food preferences, right? Italians, you know, we love our cheese, we love our bread, we love our wine, all those things. But also, in addition to that, I was a gymnast, and gymnastics comes with a lot of weight pressure. And I did go through a period of time where I restricted a lot. So I wasn't fueling my body. And, you know, I had amenorrhea for many years and got broken bones and couldn't continue the sport that I loved to do. And so this fueled my desire to go into this field to help people understand that underfueling does not lead to more success. It doesn't lead to a thinner body. Oftentimes diets lead to gaining more weight and not feeling, you know, you're like you said at the beginning, like you're just constantly thinking about the next meal, what you're allowed to have, what it consumes all of your thought. And so it became my mission to stop this madness and help people learn how to fuel their bodies in a way that's going to help them to feel good and, like, you know, allow them to do the sports and the activities and the things that they love without being distracted by constantly thinking about food and all of the food noise that comes with that.
Yeah. I mean, there's times where I think about my next meal when I'm eating one meal, like I'll be having lunch and I'm like, how am I going to have dinner? I've got this meeting. And, you know, it's like always going on in the back of my mind. Definitely. It's very distracting.
Yeah. I would challenge you to next time you have a meal, like really just pause and be like, what do I want to have? Now, this is what I should have. I should have the salad. I shouldn't have carbs with this meal. And like, just have the meal that you want to have, but like slowly, mindfully eat it. Just see what transpires from there.
Interesting. I was vegan for like a week or two. Yeah. And suddenly I was getting these cravings for meat. Like, I'm talking like animal cravings for like a bloody raw steak. And I was like, why am I even eating like this? Like, it was like all these people in spirituality were telling me how bad it was to eat meat. And I bought into it for a little bit. And I respect whatever people want to do. Like, don't get me wrong, I respect it. But for me, it wasn't working because I was having these cravings. And so I drove home from yoga and I saw this giant sign where it was like Miller's Meats. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going there right now. And I bought $100 worth of steaks. And for the next 5 days, I just chowed down on meat. And what I realized after is A, I felt amazing, and B, I stopped craving it. So my body was obviously missing like probably iron and all the proteins, the aminos that meat has, because we're all created so uniquely different and we need something different all the time. So I love that. But how do we know? Like, how do we listen to our body and how do we know if we're living by the rules instead of listening to our body?
So that was what you just described was a perfect example of like that restriction binge. Like, you know, like if you hadn't have been vegan, you probably could have eaten like maybe a 4-ounce steak one day and just not had that like ravenous craving for it. And wouldn't have had to eat $100 worth of meat in, you know, week's time, you know? And yeah, so the rules really, my rule is like really see if you can identify what you're craving and don't, that's the rule. You know, like don't, the rules shouldn't be like this amount of, you know, food once a week, or I can't have bread, or I shouldn't do this, or no eating after 7. I mean, the rules are if you listen to your body and you eat a moderate amount of the foods that you're craving, you will stop. You will know when you've had enough and you shouldn't have to have a rule surrounding that. Because like you said, our bodies are unique and we're unique from individual to individual, but we're also, our needs vary from day to day. You know, like I'm a marathoner, so I'm doing long runs on either Saturday or Sunday. And the day after, maybe the day of, I might be craving something that my body's looking for because I depleted it on my run. And it might show up that day, it might show up the next day. But if I have a rule, I can only eat certain foods on the day that I do my long runs. Well, that's not going to serve me well if it shows up the next day when I really need it, you know? So yeah, just pausing and like, trying to shift your mind back to, okay, this is what I think I should, but let's just bring myself back to listening to my body and knowing that it's okay to have the things when I'm craving them. But if you're mindful about eating it, you're not going to eat like an overabundance of it because you're going to know when you're satisfied, know when you've had enough.
Right. So let's talk about eating intuitively. What does that actively look like in real life?
Well, it means, you know, intermittent fasting is not eating intuitively, right? Like you're waiting too long. You're shutting off your metabolism, shutting off your hunger. And then if you eat when your body's craving certain things, what your body's craving, the amount you're craving, and not also sticking to, you know, specific times. Like, yeah, it's good to eat consistent meals and snacks. But, you know, if you aren't hungry at a certain time, like maybe wait till you are, but not also waiting till you're a 10 out of 10 on the hunger scale, like eating at about a 6 or a 7 and not waiting till you're super hungry to eat and then stopping eating when you're at like a 7 or 8 on the fullness scale, you know, like really knowing when those hunger and fullness, you know, signals are there so that you're not waiting till you're too hungry and then overfilling yourself so that you're uncomfortable.
Okay. So another question I have then is how do we stop feeling guilty when we do eat something that we really enjoy, like going to Dairy Queen and having like a large blizzard and then feeling like after you eat it, you're like, oh no, I should never eat that. Like, how do we rid that noise?
It's practice, right? That's not going to change overnight. We're wired to think these foods are bad and we shouldn't have them, but it's coming back to the inherent remembering that food is all of those things that I mentioned at the beginning. Food is pleasure. Food is culture. Food is socialization, and reminding yourself that, you know, sometimes I'll have my clients set a mantra like, I deserve to eat food that I love, or this is supposed to be fun. Those are some of the ones that my clients have come up with that help guide them back to learning to remember that food should also be enjoyable. And, you know, not just like checking out while you're eating that blizzard because you feel guilty, but really like enjoying it fully. And like, maybe you have some of it and you're like, okay, like I'm good now. Like I had enough. Uh-huh. That was really delicious. And I don't need to eat the whole thing because I'm not allowed to have any for another year, or, you know, like, it's okay. I had some and I'm good now. I feel satisfied. And you might have wanted it because maybe you didn't eat enough carbs that day, so your body's looking for sugar, or maybe you didn't have enough calcium and your body's looking for some, you know, calcium. Remembering also that there's a reason that your body wants that food. Or this is, my friends are going out right now and you deserve to enjoy to do things with your friends and have fun.
Right. absolutely.
It's constantly reminders, right? Like catching yourself in those rules and shifting back to those reminders.
Yeah, I love that. I think with this, though, comes the fear that people will have is if they stop following their rules, that they'll gain weight. How do you respond to that fear?
It's a fear that a lot of times when people put it into practice, they notice the opposite. So I'll give you an example. I have a client who, you know, she only allowed herself to eat bagels once a year when she went to New York City. And she practiced this, like this mindful eating. She was terrified to do it, but she practiced it. And she used to, because it was only allowed once a year, she would eat two bagels. They were loaded with cream cheese and all the stuff. And so she started eating mindfully. She went to New York City. She's like, oh my God, Teresa, I ate half of one of those bagels and I was so full. And I didn't feel that before. She's like, I scarfed down two of those. And I was like, okay, that's it for the year. She's like, I don't know how I even fit two of those. She's like, I was paying so close attention that after half of one, I was full. And she would eat Hershey's Kisses every night when her husband was away because she was so stressed and she would just eat one after the other. And when she started eating mindfully and paying attention, she's like, after two, I was like, oh my gosh, that's enough. So despite the fear, the opposite usually happens. And people usually find that they end up eating less of their favorite foods because they're paying so close attention to when their body's satisfied.
Right. So it's like stopping the obsession will actually improve someone's health versus continuing the obsession. That's all you focus on.
Exactly. Like if you're allowed to have it, you don't need to eat the whole bag of potato chips because you can eat a few and they'll still be there tomorrow. And if you want them tomorrow, you have a few and you stop and you're not going to eat the whole bag. And then tomorrow say, I'm not going to have anything, you know, all day. Well, yeah, you are. And then you're going to binge. And then so you break that restriction binge cycle. And it's a lot more comfortable and it's a lot less. You consume a lot less in the long run.
Yeah, absolutely. If someone listening wants to start healing their relationship with food today, what would your advice to them be?
Take your favorite foods off the pedestal. Like, don't covet them. Just know that they're another food, that you deserve to eat them. Eat them slowly and mindfully. Stop when you're full. And if you feel the guilt, try to release it and remember that, you know, food is more than just nourishment. It's also pleasure.
For sure. What are some habits that they can begin? Like, how can someone implement this into their life, say tomorrow?
Getting present, like not be on your phone, on the TV, doing a million things on your computer. I had a client one time who, you know, when she would crave fast food, she'd get it on the way home from work, but then she'd turn the TV on, she'd get on her phone, she'd be doing doing all the things to distract herself from the fact that she was eating the fast food. So like turn everything off. And just sit with that food and that meal and practice being totally present while you're eating it.
Yeah. And I think that can go the opposite way too, because I'm really bad for being on the go and like grabbing something or having a pot like next to me here, like on the desk. And then in between clients or meetings, I'll have a couple spoonfuls of something because I'm needing to eat because I'm not eating enough. And so I find like really busy people, especially people who, you know, have their own businesses or are, you know, I don't know, raising 10 kids, whatever you're doing. Most of us are really busy, have a hard time finding the time to even eat. Yeah. And so that's where a lot of the stress comes in, is it's like you feel hunger pains and you're like, uh-oh, now what kind of thing? Like I literally used to carry a cooler with me to my other job, like just because I had this fear of being hungry. So yeah, I think it's really difficult at times to manage.
Yeah. And also like you said, you have this pot of food next to you and you're just kind of picking at it. Like take a plate, make a plate of what you think looks like enough and then check in before you go back for more and kind of pause and ask yourself if you really want more or if you're done and kind of assess your hunger fullness, I should say, your fullness on a scale from 1 to 10. Like, am I good? Like, do I need more? But make a plate of it versus just eating out of the bag or eating out of the pot and just kind of like make it, force yourself to check in when you've completed that plate and really stop to pause if you need more.
So do you feel then that intuitively we know how much, say, protein we need versus what the world is telling us right now. There's this protein craze, like everything. Oh, you go to Starbucks and there's protein in the coffee now. No. Like, it's crazy.
There's protein water. And it's, so it's way too much. Like, we actually only 10 to 35% of our diet should be from protein. And I, you know, people are like putting it, making it seem like we need 90% of our diet to be from protein. Like, we don't need as much as we think we need. Yeah, we need protein, like 10 to 35%. But if you have some protein at every meal and snack, not protein water, protein popcorn, all of that, you will get enough. Yeah. Like, if you include it with every meal, but don't make it like the pedestal nutrient, it's actually, we need less protein than we need carbs. We need less protein than we need fat. And instead we're eating twice as much as we need. So dialing it back, and yeah, listen to your cravings. If you're craving peanut butter, then have some peanut butter with your apple, but it doesn't need to be like the only thing you have for every meal and snack.
Yeah, I think that's the problem, is like there's this set equation now that I'm hearing about, that, you know, if you're 150 pounds, you should be eating half of your weight in protein every single day. And when someone hears that, it's like incredibly overwhelming. And it feels like, how can you possibly accomplish that every single day? Like, realistically.
Yeah, that's so far from being intuitive, right? It's forcing those numbers. And yeah, it just, then you're not being intuitive at all. Then you're just following those other rules, you know, the not the restrictive rules, but the achieving a certain number rule. So it's like, yeah, being more intuitive about it and really, you know, trying to identify what your body's asking for.
Yeah, for sure. So Teresa, why don't you tell everyone more about the work that you do?
So I work with athletes, I work with women in menopause, and I work with people with body image concerns. And a lot of my clients are all three of those. Some of them might be one or two. So yeah, I have those three sort of pillars to my practice. I have a high performance program, I have a menopause program, and I have a body image program. So I work with people to, you know, yeah, athletes are always like, well, how much should I eat and what should I eat? All right, well, let's ask our body, you know. So I use intuitive eating and yoga therapy to kind of help people be more in tune with their body in all of my programs, whether it's menopause, body image, or high performance. So those are sort of the pillars. And I also do a lot of work with, you know, bringing my clients to retreats and having them just, I'm going to cook for you and you're going to learn how to eat mindfully and we're going to do yoga and we're going to practice all these things in this bubble. And then you can leave the retreat with those skills to be able to go home and kind of be equipped to do that, you know, in the real world. So yeah, lots of intuitive eating and yoga therapy to help that hone in on that mind-body piece.
Amazing. Do you feel like everyone has the skills? I know some people who are like, I have no connection to my body. What do you say to those people?
I said, you know, when people tell me they're not flexible enough to do yoga, I said, well, that's kind of like saying you're too dirty to take a shower. You know, if you need that skill, it means you need to, if you're not good at it, it's something you really need to practice. It's rewiring those neurons in our brain. So it takes practice, and some people it takes more practice than others, but it can be accomplished. I have some clients who are just like, there's no way. I had a client one time tell me that she's like, you mean to tell me I'm going to be able to take cheese out of the refrigerator and eat a normal amount? And I said, yep, you're going to be able to do that. And she did my program. She did my body image program. And she totally was like, wow, I thought you were crazy, but here we are. I can do it.
So that's hilarious. Yeah, I used to like get up at 3 a.m, grab a bag of salt and vinegar chips and like crush half of it. And that was when I was depriving myself for sure.
You were allowed to, right?
I was literally doing it like in the washroom. It sounds so gross, but I was like, I'd go to the washroom and I'd grab the chips. I'd like hide from everybody. And then in the morning time, there'd be like crumbs everywhere.
You had said, I'm allowed to eat these and just have a few before bed, you probably would have had like one quarter of the amount that you did at 3 a.m. Yeah.
Totally. Totally. Well, this has been such a fun conversation. Where can people find more information about the stuff that you're doing?
Yeah. So my website, nutrition-4-op.com. And my next retreat is on there.
And yeah. Tell us about your retreat in Fort Lauderdale.
It is peace in paradise. So we are going to be in Fort Lauderdale, January 8th through 11th, where we'll be practicing yoga and, you know, kind of doing some sound bath healing in the water and lots of things like that, Pilates, and I'll be cooking all the food for everyone. And yeah, it's going to be beautiful. It'll be my 11th retreat. So it they fill fast. So check it out.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, thank you so much for being here today. I know you're going to be joining us for more future episodes, and we can dive deeper into all of these topics. Is there any last minute thoughts you want to leave the audience with?
Challenge yourself. Take the food off the pedestal, eat mindfully, and see what happens.
Yeah. And I feel like I just want to, like, I'm trying to do that with everything in life. Like, it's really challenging because, like, you go online, you go anywhere, and you're hearing all of these new rules and people's perspectives. And we just have to remind ourselves that what works for one person might not work for us. So if someone can't eat after seven because they can't eat after seven for some reason, that doesn't mean that everybody can't. So I think we just have to really take control of our own lives. And like you said, listen within, like get to know ourselves and within, what is our body asking for? So Dr. Teresa, this has been such an eye-opening conversation. I think so many people listening today will realize they've spent years fighting food when food was never the enemy. So if you'd like to learn more about Dr. Teresa Lorenzo, please book a consultation or explore her nutrition programs. Visit Nutrition for Optimal Performance, and you'll find resources there to help you feel your body, improve your health, and finally step away from restrictive dieting. So thank you everyone for joining us. Thank you to everyone listening. Until next time, remember, real health isn't built through punishment. It's built through nourishment.